to the podcast called
Dogs Are Smarter Than People.
This is a podcast where we talk about writing tips, random weird thoughts to start us off that make no sense to anyone, and
how mean Sean is to Carrie, usually.
Oh no, that's true. So hey, thanks for being here with us.
Yes, thank you very much. We hope you chuckle at least one time.
One time. Hey.
Hey, baby.
It's a podcast.
Oh,
it's a casting of a pod.
It's the casting of a pod.
Yeah. So, this episode, as all our episodes, it's a little, you know, we're not scripted.
It's unscripted.
Yeah.
That's the word.
I'm
just teasing. I like the
proof.
Every once in a while, proof what?
That we're unscripted. Oh!
Oh! Ha! Just teasing again.
You're really not cool today.
I've been cool all day.
No.
At some point in time, my vent has to let loose.
Oh my goodness.
It's so the pressure relief valve.
Every podcast, before we get to the good stuff, we talk about random stuff. And this today's random stuff
is about a porn made in 1876.
No, it's not about a porn.
Wait till you read the title.
It's a UPI story, and it's Museum Exhibit Explores Mysterious Kentucky Meat Shower of 1876, and it's by Ben Hooper. So
the Kentucky Meat Shower,
it's a real thing.
Is a porn.
No, it is not. It's a real thing. So back in 18... All right, so a new museum... exhibit in a Kentucky museum is why this is coming back into play.
Yeah.
And it's the bath.
That's probably where the meat shower took place because it's easy to clean.
The Bath County History Museum has a new exhibit, and it's all about the meat shower that happened in March 1876. And it's allegedly supposed to have occurred, and this is a direct quote from Ben's article, when Olympia Springs resident Rebecca Crouch, not
tell me somebody named Rebecca Crouch in the meat shower. It's not a Bukkake film. It's porn.
Okay. Now this is explicit. Was outside with her grandson, and chunks of red meat rained down from the sky. They have even preserved a piece of what they believe was one of those chunks of red meat at the Transylvania University. How is this real? How is this real? In Lexington.
It's not. It's a backstory they made up to support the porn.
Anyways, the school gave the jar of flesh back to Bath County, so it could be the centerpiece of the exhibit in the museum.
Have they tested it?
They have done a DNA test on the preserved meat, but it was inconclusive.
Mm.
Yeah. So, a lot of like...
leading to...
People have like theories, and one of the theories...
about the kills of...
the meat shower?
The meaty rain. It says the meaty rain.
I'm not going to call meaty rain. So like they're like, well, me, you know, maybe like sometimes there's a weather pattern and like the wind picks up fish or like frogs, you know, an upspout or something, said one of the professors. But like he thinks it was vulture vomit.
Well, that wouldn't.
That's a lot of meat.
I was gonna say that would be like a whole flock of vultures. They all ate some bad meat and got sick at the same time. Right when Rebecca was crouching with her grandson out in the front yard, and they all vomited on her.
Her husband, Alan, said it fell like large snowflakes when it happened. And she was outside making soap, by the way.
Oh, she had a special batch set that day.
Yeah.
It was flecked.
Can you imagine, though? So one person actually said that there was meat sticking out of fences. There was meat scattered all around the ground. There were, like, chunks of meat that were mostly 5 by 5 centimeters. But one was 10 centimeters square.
Whoa.
And according to the man who observed it, right? He went there to observe it and, you know, document it. Said brilliantly that it was probably fresh when it fell.
But in the summer heat, it quickly became unfresh.
But apparently two other guys allegedly show up. They tasted it. They tasted the meat that fell from the sky, and they thought it was venison or mutton.
Maybe a sheep and a metal shed got sucked up in a tornado at the same time, and it was like a blender.
Maybe.
And it just flew up.
But another guy who showed up, Leopold Brandeis, said it wasn't meat at all, but it was a, quote, type of gelatinous bacteria called Nostoc.
Yeah.
And that, like, floats around and gets, like, chubbier or swells up or something.
Oh, from the moisture.
Yeah, and they call it witch's butter and star slubber, allegedly.
Both porn terms.
But it's an interesting question, right? Yeah. Like, it's they call it the Kentucky shower of flesh.
I bet you that guy's right. I bet you the gelatinous bacteria guy is right.
But those other guys eat it.
Whatever. It doesn't mean it's bad for you.
Yeah.
The shower of flesh.
So, and then another guy, a doctor, said he thought it was projectile vulture vomit. And he analyzed a specimen himself, set fire to it, and said it smelled like rancid mutton. So there's a whole bunch of things, right?
Yeah, there
is. A whole bunch of theories and questions.
But I mean, it was in the 1800s.
Yeah. Well, the late 1800s.
They were making those. They were drawing those. They were like flip books.
They also were worried that it was a sign from God, and they called it a carnal rain. Carnal rain, meat shower, flesh shower, Kentucky shower of flesh. That's a lot, man. That's a lot right there.
It's a good thing I'm not a porn producer. I just had like 5 new titles right there.
Well, if you were one, we'd probably be raking in the money right now.
I know.
Darn.
But my actress is on strike.
So,
what is our exciting topic of the day, baby? Because nothing can beat Kentucky flesh shower.
The carnal rain. So, the podcast's real title is What Do Readers Want? And I just had like this thought of these poor people who have never listened to our podcast before. What does this have to do with what readers want?
Oh, if this is your first episode, no animals were harmed in the making of this podcast.
Oh, nothing was harmed except my ego. So, basically, readers want questions they'll get answers to. They want to be hooked along, and they want to unwrap the answer the way people unwrap a birthday present. That's what Robert Prince says, anyway, writing to his class at the University of Alaska, right? So do you think that's right?
No, I don't want to tear the pages of my book like I did.
No, you're so literal, babe. You're so literal. So,
I mean, but yeah, it's like, to me, it's like more like peeling an onion, I guess.
Well, he compares it to like a Christmas or a birthday party, like why we wrap presents, right? Because wrapping presents is kind of dumb. It's, he says, I think that is ridiculous.
You're prolonging the excitement and stuff, right?
Right, yeah. He's like, it's a lot of extra work. And like, you buy this paper, you throw away the paper. Bad for the environment. Then people rip off the paper, right? Oh, you know? And like then, but he said that people do it because they love questions. And the question is like, what is this present, right? Like, it prolongs the celebration. It prolongs your activity. He doesn't necessarily say that. I'm saying it, but like,
right. That's the gist.
Yeah, he says, quote, few things fascinate us more than an unanswered question. Heck, they basically named a long-running rebooted TV series after this, Unsolved Mysteries. They could have just called it Unanswered Questions, but it doesn't have that same dramatic appeal. We wrap presents because the wrapping paper turns a Lego set into a question. And a question is more fun than a Lego set, believe it or not. The wrapping.
We got some friends that might not agree with that statement.
The wrapping paper, he says, makes us ask, what could be in there? Is it what I asked for? Is it something else? Is it cool? It could be almost anything. And that's what he says is what a book is like. Like, we could write a book like an instruction manual, but then it's not really interesting. And he, you know, he's kind of like, you know, you don't even read the instruction manuals for things you're putting together when you get them because they're so boring. And instead, people are like, oh, well, you do, Sean.
I just read an instruction manual last week.
I know, because I had to. You're that kind of person, but...
Well, no.
You're a special, special human. But I can't do that because I'm bored, right? And so I want to hear the question. I want to try to figure out the question. I want to figure out the question in the first five pages and then spoil myself.
Yeah, but you are horrible like that.
Because I always figure out the questions. But the point is, and then I'm like, oh, is it worth it? If I've already figured out the whole story, should I, on TV or movie or whatever, should I still watch? But the point is that, like... The audience, he says, or the readers, like if you're storytelling aloud or if you're storytelling on the page, they don't want everything right there, right away. They want to have that journey. They want, and that journey to him is pulled along by the questions.
That makes sense. For definitely for writing.
Yeah. And
you smell good.
Okay. So we often call that the creepy. We call that the creepy husband moment. We often call that the hook, the question. You know, like, I think some people just listen to our podcast to see if we're going to stay married.
Well, good. We'll have a long-running podcast.
A very long-running podcast. And you're getting your puppy here now.
She's got actually a vulture that's ready to puke in her mouth.
Oh, really? Is it a raptor? Is there going to be a meat shower?
Later on tonight, there might be a meat shower.
But that's a question, too, right? That story is still compelling. No, that's meat shower in Kentucky. That story is still compelling because we don't really have the definitive answer.
Yes, because unfortunately, they didn't have the technology back then to define the answer like we would have today, probably.
Yeah, man.
Oh, it's recording?
Dog tip.
I gotta wait for you and Pokey to be playing. Dog tip for life.
So, what's our dog tip for life, boo-boo?
I really couldn't get anything out of Pokey today except for, I want a Kentucky meat shower.
Oh,
I want a Kentucky meat shower. Put me out in the backyard when the meat falls out of the sky, Daddy.
She would be so excited.
Oh, yeah,
our puppy would have the happiest moment. I was just thinking that I don't think it could be the gelatinous blob of bacteria if the DNA was inconclusive, because I think that you would be very, it would be very easy to tell if that was bacteria from a DNA test.
You don't think you'd find any vulture DNA in there if it was bile? Vomit?
No, I'm not saying that it was... I'm sorry. If it was the bacteria, like the...
I know what you meant. Thing. I know 100%. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you think that would come back as conclusive?
Yeah, that would be conclusive. Versus bile versus...
Which is a big mix of stuff.
Vampires.
And it's freaking, you know...
Like vampires could have been in
the sky. It's like 60 years old.
Yeah, but what, maybe it was like cloudy and then a vampire, like the sun came out and then the vampire exploded.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that's why the DNA, and I mean, and the Transylvania University had the sample.
That's why they had it.
Yeah, but you're missing the Transylvania.
No, I got it. That's why they had the jar.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to not let the meat get into the hands of the humans.
Right. We solved it.
Yes, we did.
Answered the question. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. All the podcast notes are on Living Happy on Substack or CarrieJonesBooks.blog. The awesome music was available via the Creative Commons, and it's being clipped. There's someone singing outside the window right now.
But they're not singing our song.
But that is Broke for Free, and the song is Summer Spliff.
Everybody's favorite.
I wish. I'd probably be less cranky.
Yes, you would be less cranky.